And we welcome you in. It is the Lombardi Line here on a Thursday. We say good afternoon, good morning. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VEASAN studios here at the South Point. There he is. Michael, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Happy 4th of July weekend, Patrick. We'll get celebrate the 4th and see what we can do. Hopefully we're moving along a line. Did you see the big news today?
What I want to know. Lay it on me.
I tweeted it. I thought for sure you would.
Well,
come
I have
right
a lot to talk to you about your Twitter feed today, but go ahead. Start with the big news.
I mean, did you read Brett Brown's comments on Chubby?
Joe, what you just called? So you're just going to call it? You nickname everybody so Embiid is simply Chubby. I mean, that's all you could come up with.
I will change it once I know that he's in shape. I mean, I love Brett to death, and if Brett says he's, I can't wait to see it. I really can't. Look, I'm chubby too, so you know. But the reality of it, I want to see it. I'm anxious to see this. Worked out harder than any other 76er.
This is the news. By the way, it's a Thursday. You know what that means, Michael? Aussie rules Thursday. I can't wait.
I've already watched Carlton and St. Kilda. I've already seen that. I got my notes. I'm ready to go here, Patrick. I'm all ready right here.
Ron Flatter's going to – I love it when Michael's in a goofy mood. Ron Flatter's going to be joining us. What would Michael do? And, yes, you mentioned it. The big news, your buddy Mr. Brown says that Joel – Embiid more than anybody. And basically he's calling out the rest of the 76ers, but he's saying more than anybody, he's been killing it during the quarantine. He's going to be in shape, ready to go with the bubble.
This is, if there ever was going to be a time he decided to dominate, this would be it. You know, let's see. You know, I'm anxious to watch. I'm cautiously optimistic. I really am. We'll see what happens. You know, I'm sure by the second game I'll give up everything. But, you know, right now, I mean, I'm going to see, because conditioning is the thing that drives me crazy. It's the fact that he's got so much ability, yet he doesn't care as much about it, you know, and all that crying last year after the Toronto game was meaningless when he shows up and he's not in shape to really compete at the highest level, you know. And Philadelphia has seen dominant players like Moses Malone, who worked extremely hard and did the things he had to do. This guy's more talented than anybody, but yet we got to find him doing it.
Yeah, and you know, another thing as far as the quarantine that's going to benefit the 76ers, who we've talked about, you know, it's such a team. I actually like heading down there because I think when they're quarantined, it can be a positive. But the back impingement for Simmons won't limit him either. That's huge. This rest has helped him.
Yeah, and Brett Brown's talking about basically having two teams. He's talking about having Horford go back to play in center. So start the game off with Embiid. I think they're going to play Shake Milton start the point guard. That means Josh Richardson's the off guard. That means they're going to play Simmons somewhere, small forward, anywhere. And then Tobias will play typically where he's used to playing, which is the power forward. And then you've got Embiid. So, and then when he brings Horford in for Embiid, all of a sudden he doesn't lose anything. And the match stay consistent. You know, I had breakfast one day in Charlotte with Larry Brown, and that's what he kept telling me during the conversation was, look, you know, when you make Tobias now have to guard threes, he becomes weaker. When you make Horford have to guard four, he becomes a weaker defender. When they can guard their positions, all of a sudden, it's pretty good.
Yep, bullish on the 76ers. There's so much to get to, and I always joke about this, but you must follow Michael on Twitter at M. Lombardi NFL. Now, there's a couple of things. You get song lyrics, you get the Daily Coach, and then you get today. You don't understand how excited I was when you talked about Master of the Senate, Robert Caro's book, which I've read, which is about Lyndon. If there was ever a head coach that was a president, a galvanizer of people, even if they don't want to do it, it was Lyndon Johnson. That book is good for business. It's good for anything.
And it's good for right now, too. If you want to understand the civil rights, do you want to understand all the history that has gone into that since Lincoln? You need to read this book to understand really what's happened in this country and why the frustration has just eked out so badly. I mean, I've been rereading it, and the sentences are marvelous, and it's just incredible. So I wanted to share that, especially on an Independence weekend where we can celebrate the 4th of July and really get back to what we wanted to be as we the people.
Yep, it's called Master of the Senate. I encourage for the times right now, remember, picked up where JFK left off and got everything pushed through legislation. Just it really is. It reads so fun too. It's like you won't put it down. It's tremendous.
It's incredible.
All right. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM as always. As we continue along, that's M. Lombardi NFL. We're at VEASAN Live and we welcome you in on a Thursday. America's birthday just a couple of days away. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VEASAN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi there in Jersey. with the whole crew. Now there's a ton to do. One thing I did want to bring up quickly. Look, it does appear, you know, I don't know what's going to happen as far as the NFL and pushing him through as far as the due process, but Antonio Brown's going to be on a team this year, Michael. He's throwing with, you know, Russell Wilson in San Diego. And you've talked about, as far as the market, the implications of him being on a team like Seattle or even, you know, Tampa Bay or San Francisco. I mean, this is a shapeshifter as far as the market.
Yeah, and I mean, I know Bruce Arians has told everybody he's not interested, and I'm sure the Bucks have said that, sent that message out. But that doesn't mean Tom Brady's not interested.
Exactly.
Like, Tom Brady is really interested, and Tom Brady will not go away quietly. He will not. He will keep on this for on and on and on. And so, you know, that going on, Russell Wilson, he's throwing with him now. He's been throwing in Florida with Lamar Jackson. So I do think he's going to be on a team. And I think that when you watch this player, I mean, when you watch him, everybody understands it. You know, that's where Tom is like trying to tell Bruce, hey, Bruce, I've watched this guy. I've seen him. And Bruce is like, oh, I'm sure you have, but I don't want to deal with it. And Brady's probably saying, this is all speculative on my part. Don't worry. I'll handle him. Don't worry. How beautiful is that field, by the way?
It really, it's so lush and green. That's really, did they paint it? That's San Diego for you, by the way.
Oh, I don't know why I can't get my backyard to look like this. I don't understand it.
That's California.
I got to call my man Greco up and see what the hell's going on here.
Like, who the hell's Greco?
He's my landscaper.
Oh, that was a weird flex. Hey, by the way, I meant to tell you, this is, you've been making news this week. So how about you on First Take? I think it was Skip Bayless talking about the fact everybody knows you're carrying Belichick's water, and you only believe that Russell, that Cam Newton makes the Patriots favored in division because, of course, you've worked with Belichick. That was a big topic on First Take yesterday. Would you like to explain yourself?
I mean, look, I am friends with Bill, and I think he's the greatest coach, and I've been privileged to work with him, and I probably do have a blind spot. I will admit that. But I also, there's a reason why I do. I think that when you look at their football team and you analyze it, and you look at Cam Newton, I mean, it's funny the people that have come out and have talked about Cam Newton, you know, Ron Rivera, you know, who could have had him in Washington, but understanding that the owner wants to see if Haskins can do it. Like, I'm never going to underestimate this coach. I'm never going to underestimate him. And then you bring in the talent like Cam Newton, and you understand what he did in 18. I don't even want to go back to 15, what he did in 18 and what he brings to their offense. See, I think there's a real misconception. I think last year the Patriots won 13 games, you know, and it was a struggle, but they won those games. They didn't play well down the stretch. They got longer in the tooth on defense. The quarterbacking was, Tom wasn't really in tune with his other players. He right. wouldn't throw the ball to anybody else. So look, I deserve the knock that I am close to Bill. I wear that tag with pride. I wear that tag with great pride because to me, he's the greatest coach, but I'm also very opinionated. And I'm also very, I don't cloud it. Like, if I think they're bad, I'll say it.
Yeah.
If I think they're good, I'll say it. So like, I'm not one of those in their hip pocket. I'm not going to say that. I've maintained they were good if Jarrett Stidham had a play. I just happen to think, and here's the funny thing. I've never had a conversation with Belichick on Cam Newton before he signed him. I never did.
Well,
I never did.
I can say this. And by the way, the number settled in as far as the market at 9, you know, we saw it hit 9.5 with the Cam news. It's kind of settled in 9, juiced up a little bit to the over. You know, a lot happens in radio and television during commercial breaks. And I can say we've worked together for almost a year now. I've never even heard you talk about anything personal with Bill. Never. Nothing's ever even been discussed. So I don't have to defend you. You can do a good job doing it yourself. But the idea, I mean, there's going to be a bias in life, but the idea that you would care to talk as far as a betting market about Bill in some way that favors him is ridiculous.
I mean, yeah, seriously. Like, I mean, I take great pride in the fact that I was almost 70% last year in picking games. I mean, I'm not as good as that guy on Instagram who's dating Holly Sanders. I agree with that, obviously.
What just happened?
He's way better than I am, but whatever. Vegas Dave. I mean, but I'll take 69%. I'll do that. I mean, I'll humbly say that. But so I'm not going to give a bet out that I don't believe in. And I'm not going to give a bet out that I, because I don't bet. I'm not going to make somebody bet their money that I haven't done the research on or do it. So for me, I think it's pretty clear. I'm just going to say what I think, and whether you like it or not, you know, it's like the bear, like people are talking about Josh Allen. I mean, look, I know where I am on Josh Allen. You know, he doesn't throw the deep ball very well.
He's going to have to complete some passes over 20 yards. That's all you've said. You've maintained it. That's kind of that's a big deal for a quarterback in 2020.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's the same thing with Miami. I know where they are. I know where I am with Tua, but I don't have I'm not carrying Bill's water. He can do it all by himself.
Okay. Now, I'm sure you saw this. Your friend Diana Russini, ESPN, she talked to an AFC head coach yesterday. This is anonymous. And the quote was, "I think they're going to keep three quarterbacks, use Cam perhaps as the wild card. I actually don't see him starting in week one in that offense. I know one thing for a fact. The Patriots love Jarrett Stidham," and you're already laughing. Please explain.
I mean, first of all, okay, let's break this down. Was it Brian Flores? I can't see Brian Flores having that conversation.
No way.
Was it Sean McDermott? I can't see McDermott. It could be Adam Gase, maybe. I don't know. But here's what I do know. Cam Newton's going to be the starter first week. I don't care what that head coach told her. I don't care about that. Like, I'm just telling you, Cam Newton's going to be start because Cam Newton's a really good player. So you could dismiss that conversation completely, right? Like that's just fill in airwaves. That's information that doesn't count because Cam Newton's going to start. Because Cam Newton's determined to start. Now, if he's injured, all bets are off.
Right.
Right. And it's not, they're going to tailor the system to fit him. He's not walking in to learn the system. They're going to fit the system into him. They're excited to have him. They're excited that Jarrett Stidham, which part of that conversation is true. They love Jarrett Stidham.
Sure.
But Jarrett Stidham's going to need some time. The idea that Cam Newton is not going to be the day one starter, that made it to a story? Come on, please stop. Cam Newton is the starter.
And look at the market, minus 400, Cam to be a starter that hasn't budged at all. Stidham right now, 3-1, and Brian Hoyer, 33-1 if you want to take a chance on the Spartan. Listen. News has to be made. And if it's Gase, you know, it's funny. You always say, look to the quarterback when you start your capping. You have a system, and the first thing you do is you talk about quarterbacks versus the defensive coordinator. You have a myriad of things you look at. But if you just look in division, if you go division by division, that's the worst as far as starting quarterback play right now. So adding Cam to that mix, and listen, who knows? Darnold could turn into something special. Allen as well. We understand. But in division right now, adding an MVP to that team and that coach, that's pretty damn good.
Well, let's just take the opening game. Josh Boyer sitting down there. He knows he's preparing this summer that Cam's going to be the quarterback. So he knows he's got to have somebody that can spy in the backfield. That
right.
if it's third down, if he's playing two man, or if he's going to play cover one funnel, he's got to have somebody in there, right? They know how they're going to do that. If Seattle tries to play cover two against Cam in that game and just plays two, the ball's going to get run down their throat. Damien Harris will have 140 yards rushing. If the Raiders try to play what they typically do with Paul Gunther and their offense and their defense, he'll make plays. So like for me, it's all about the matchups every single week. And I think really what people don't understand is Cam is truly, I mean, Christopher Sims had him in the top 10 and he hasn't played in basically a year and a half. And Sims is right. He's a top 10 quarterback. This guy is really good. I think he's better than Carson Wentz, who Sims had at 6. Wentz didn't throw the ball down the field. He got locked into Zach Ertz all last year. So, you know, to me, it's all subjective, but I will say this. I don't know who the NFC AFC East head coach had time to worry about the Patriots, but I will say this. Cam Newton will be the starter.
That number hasn't budged, by the way. Dolphins, Patriots opening up week one. Right now, the Pats are laying 6.5, 43.5 on the total. They go week two at Seattle, come back home. Raiders, Mr. Rogers is in studio. I know he has a futures bet on the Raiders at the Chiefs week four. They have a week six bye. You're sitting up in the front office. Ideally, let's help the better understand the ideal bye week.
Well, I think, you know, because of the preseason limitations, right? Because we're not going to have much of the preseason, I think having 5 weeks, what Belichick will do after those 5 weeks is then basically decide what he's got as a football team. Here's my strengths. Here are my weaknesses. Here's where I need to go. Here's who I've counted on, but I can't count on any longer. Here's who I wasn't counting on that I can count on. And I think that's it gives him an opportunity to regroup. He's got a different team. You know, when you have an older team, like in the Super Bowl, when we played, the Raiders played Tampa Bay. With that 1 week bye in there, that really hurt us. We didn't have a bye. We went from one game to the next game. That killed us. Whereas some of this team, Belichick's team this year, is going to be relatively young. So the early buy or the late buy is not going to affect him. What's going to affect him is how he organizes his team as he moves forward.
Put some respect on the city's name, Michael. It's Tampa Bay. Speaking of Tom, I want to get to Tom in just a second. Let's back up a little bit, though. I guess Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio is reporting this, but our very own Michael Lombardi told you yesterday the preseason's going to be.
I've been saying this for weeks, by the way.
Yeah, and you said it's not only going to be cut to two games, but it's not out of the possibility we could see zero preseason games. And, you know, NFL Network's reporting that the NFLPA is yet to agree on anything as far as preseason games. So we're still kind of in limbo there.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a smart move by the NFLPA. I'm not sure you want to, and I've said this many times on this network, you don't want to waste the opportunity on games that don't matter. Now, I know we have to get teams ready, but I think that we know this. September is going to be an extension of the preseason. Let's face it. It's been that way for the last 5 or 6 years. It's going to continue towards that trend. So for me, I think that if they do cancel the entire preseason, it may be the smartest thing to do. We need to see where we are in terms of testing, how many players, what we're dealing with. I think no one can make that decision, but the current platform, what we talked about this week, earlier this week, no first game, no fourth game, allows the teams to have some flexibility in case the virus does creep up on certain players.
And bettors will be bitter because there's opportunities to make money in preseason betting. Now, let me ask you, the extension as far as if there's two preseason games, are we just going to see that carry over as far as the offense is catching up to the defense as a bettor?
Yeah, I think it's going to be because of the no OTA days. I would be very reluctant to bet with the new coaching staff. So I would be very reluctant to go down that road because it's going to take some time to get organized. It's going to take some time to get some kind of system in place. Plus, it's going to take some time to them to correctly evaluate the players they're dealing with. Right now, they have an opinion. That opinion can change once you start practicing. It happens all the time. So I think that certainly could be the case.
All right, Michael, you know this. July marks the return of major sports. And if you're in Nevada and you want to get in on the action, you want to wager at BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app from the same folks who bring you world-class sportsbook and casino experiences in Las Vegas. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering opportunities and options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever the sport, whatever the betting style, you're going to love BetMGM state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. It's a very easy interface, I can tell you that. If you're ready for the return of basketball and baseball and hockey with football right around the corner, then it's time to believe in your game and BetMGM. Go to BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-522-4700. So I want you to respond to this, and then I promise we'll move on from Cam, but I have some numbers as far as props. Randy Moss is ready to see the Pats offense be fun again. Now, he says, not discrediting anything Tom accomplished because he accomplished some great things. You think, Randy? But I think being able to have a guy like Cam Newton that can run the ball, they're going to be able to spread guys out and then be able to have that viable threat in the passing game that he can just tuck the ball and run. I just think that what we've seen coming out of New England for the past, let's say, 20 years, there's going to be a lot of change this season in New England. That's Randy Moss.
And I agree completely with Randy. I mean, look, Tom got locked in on guys. We've talked about this. He would only throw the ball to Julian Edelman. I could take out 15 plays and show you guys were open, but he wanted to throw it because he trusted Julian. That's what happens to older quarterbacks. I think when you talk about Cam, we know he's only rushed one time in his career for under 100 carries. We know that he's going to average over 600 yards rushing at some point. That's a lot to add to a team. We know that on third down, when he runs the ball, he's had 1,600 yards in his career, and 63% of the time he gets first downs. That's a whole other dimension that opens up for him. And they're going to find a way to utilize his skill set. You know, this Bird kid that they got, I would play him in fantasy. I think they're really high on him. He's going to be a really good player. Sanu's been working out with him. Keneal Harry is really talented. He is really talented. And I think that along with Julian Edelman, gives them some skill players. I think the question mark for them is going to be Damian Harris. Can he fill in for Sonny Michel? Can he take the first and second down and fit into this offense and blend in? But look, the head coach of this team is going to make sure that they're doing everything in their power offensively to highlight what Cam Newton does. And their offensive coordinator is one of the best in football, and Josh McDaniels, and he's going to highlight what he does. So I feel pretty comfortable about what this offense is going to look like. It's going to slowly start but it will evolve. And once it evolves, it'll be tough to deal with.
And you just said something as far as, you know, I think conditioning is something with Tom Brady down in Tampa. And yes, he's working with the receivers now, but I got an in-pocket bet on Gronkowski over 600.5. Now, a lot of that just has to do with whether or not he's playing. If he's playing in 14 to 16 games, he's going to go over that 600 yards just because it's a security, it's a bias, and it's a condition for Brady to throw him the ball out of security.
Right. And here's the issue, though, is Bruce going to change what he wants to do? Because Tom is not going to go back there and hold the football. Tom is not going to throw the ball into tight windows. Tom is going to throw the ball. He wants to run the short passing game with precision, with his accuracy, utilize the big play. And it's going to be interesting because we know this. We know that Tom, you know, that Bruce wants to chuck it down the field, that no biscuit line. He wants to. So we're going to have to see who gives it a little bit. This is going to be a really unique challenge for Tom Brady because this is going to be the first time he doesn't have the structure of the Patriots offense and the coaching of the Patriots offense to lean on.
Okay, 45 seconds. Cam Newton passing prop, 3,500. So, you know, obviously it just comes down to the amount of games he plays, whether or not he eclipses 3,000 yards passing, right?
Well, I mean, he averages 3,600 in his career, every season he's played when he's played enough. He's going to get over that. There's no doubt in my mind. He is going to be the comeback player of the year if he stays healthy.
Okay, Tom and Gronk are talking about having fun again. What the hell does that mean? We'll come back and find out right here on the Lombardi Line. Remember, presented by BetMGM. If you missed anything, go to vsin.com. We're coming back. Don't forget Ron Flatter coming up with Aussie Rules Football as well. It's vsin, the sports betting network. Tell you, Michael, a spirited debate in studio here at the VSiN studios. Of course, as we welcome you back, it is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick, live from the South Point studios here in Las Vegas. Michael Lombardi, of course. So Brian Rogers, who runs VSiN, he is so down on Cam. He said, unless they just run the Auburn offense, it's going to be a disaster. And then Steph, our producer, who's a Patriot fan, she almost ran out of the studio because she thinks, you know, there's an undefeated team. Cam's going to, this is the debate with Cam, not just as a player, but as a person, is something that's fascinating because he is polarizing in a myriad of ways.
Well, I will say this. I mean, Cam never ran the Auburn offense at Carolina when he won MVP. He wasn't running the Auburn offense.
Shots fired at Rodgers.
When in 2018, I mean, that offense that he ran, that was his first year with North Turner, who's been singing his praises to everybody that talks to him. That was the first time he really, Mike Shula was his coordinator before. He's had a bunch of different variations of offense, but it's never been, look, the Auburn offense, let's just be real clear, has no passing game. Right. It's just unbalanced power, play action, throw it to the best receiver. So that's really, you know, that's not what Cam did. Cam can, he can throw the slants. He throws it outside. Now he's not I think what people get confused with Cam is he's not a 65% completion.
No, he's not a high completion percentage guy. No,
but he makes enough plays with his feet to offset some of that.
Let's put it this way. Cam Newton won Gene Chizik a national championship. Enough said. If you're a college football fan, you know what that means. Hey, quickly, I don't know if you saw this, but there's always, we're trying to, you know, get news, and Tom Brady, one of the two, Tom Brady or Gronk's talking to GQ. When Tom Brady's not flexing on Instagram, he's giving an interview, okay? Or he's trademarking. But anyway, apparently Brady texted Gronk and said, it's fun again. We're going to have fun again. Everybody leaves New England and talks about how it's going to be fun again. Isn't, you know, winning championships seems like it'd be fun, no?
But it's hard, New England. I mean, make no mistake about it. It's joining the Navy SEALs program. It's not easy. It's not. And after 19 years, I'm sure Tom is tired. He's exhausted. Right. And he wants to go out and be able to tweet and help his brand and do all those things that he couldn't really do there. I give him a ton of credit for not wanting to stay and do that. He left the program and took $60 million with him or $50 million with him to be able to do what he's doing. So, yeah, I mean, but what happens is when all these guys go some other place, and Patrick Chung might be the perfect example. Go down to Philadelphia, right. You know, all of a sudden it's not fun anymore. Then they come back, it's fun. Jamie Collins, it was fun for a while. Now it wasn't fun anymore, you know? And so I think, you know, what happens is everybody thinks, most people in the league think they do everything New England does, but they have really no idea what the details are up in New England.
Now, of course, drama sells. So I just want to ask you quickly about this because this is making the rounds. When Jordan Love was selected by the Packers, it was a huge deal, 25th overall. Today we learned that it's the first time ever that a player selected 25th or lower received a fully guaranteed deal. Remember, Rodgers is signed through 2023. It is a precarious situation, to say the least.
Yeah, and we've had other quarterbacks picked down there. Teddy Bridgewater was picked down there, you know. So it's interesting how with the messaging that Mark Murphy is sending. And
what does that mean, Michael? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but what does that mean that he would fully guarantee that?
That means that that there's no offset. There's no, that he's on the team. Okay. That he's not going anywhere, you know. And look, and frankly, if he comes in and plays well, you know, you could say, well, that means the end of Rodgers. I don't know if it does necessarily, but the one thing about this is he flashes. I mean, whether he gets paid by the Packers or somebody else, it's really insignificant, but it is a message. It is sending a message. It's kind of a way of saying to Rodgers, look, you don't run the program. This is going to be an interesting thing, how they manage it up in Green Bay, how Matt LaFleur handles all this situation. And I said yesterday, they should be the team most after Antonio Brown of all of them, because that would keep Rodgers say, hey, look, you wanted us to draft a rookie receiver. Huh? I got you Antonio Brown, assuming that all the off the field stuff comes through.
The Davante Adams prop at 11.50.5. I mean, he is his go-to receiver. I love that. But quickly, we just have a minute. Let's shift to the NBA. And remember, on the 30th, the Clippers and Lakers are going to open up down in Orlando. The Lakers are laying one. That number's flipped. They've come to a deal with J.R. Smith. I think the Bradley miss is going to be big. And we don't know what's happening with Dwight Howard. Just 30 seconds, Michael.
Right. That to me, until we get everybody in there and see what kind of shape, I think it's hard to handicap these teams because we're just dealing with the unknown. And so are the books.
Yes.
So are the books.
Yeah. And Vinny's going to join us next week to talk about that. The books are just as confused about what's happening right now as well. They're always a step ahead, but this is unprecedented. When we come back, what would Michael do? And then we also have Aussie Rules Football with Ron Flatter and Michael coming up right here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSIN, the sports betting network. Yesterday I was busy, but during the midday I looked at my email and Bill AD, the big dog here at VSIN, had sent out the daily email. All the hosts here on VSIN and guests on VSIN, we aggregate the picks of the day. So if you want free picks, all you have to do is sign up for VSIN Plus right now, which by the way is free for another 28 days. Anyway, I got a soccer pick from the email. And now my dog can enjoy food again. I'm telling you, it was a winner. So go there, VSiN.com/subscribe. Now, here's what you're going to get. Point Spread Weekly as well. And we were just talking about this off the air. There's probably not a more important Point Spread Weekly than one you're getting right now, because we're getting sports back, whether it be MLS with the tournament, whether it be baseball coming back. If you want to get out in front of it, you know, we're just 29 days away from the hub as far as hockey and basketball. It's all right there in Point Spread Weekly, which is included in the VSIN Plus subscription. So It's vsin.com/subscribe. It's free until August. Go do it right now. vsin.com/subscribe. It's now time. The music, what would Michael do? It's a Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick. He's Michael. Maybe we should get some Springsteen as far as the music. What do you think, Michael?
That would be really good. That would be awesome. Would be tremendous.
When you're coming up, and we've got Aussie Rules football yet to come, when you're coming up with the quotes at M. Lombardi NFL, is it it's lyrics from songs? Is it always right. Bruce? Are you mixing it up? Because I read them every day. It's just sometimes I'm confused.
They always have been Bruce. I haven't deviated from it at all because he's got so many good quotes, and I listen to him pretty much most of the day. And then I hear something, and I'm like, oh, that makes sense to me, you know? So there's when you listen to a lot of Bruce, there's periods of time that Bruce goes through, the growing up period, you know, the fall in love period, the divorce period, then the rising period. So there's all sorts of messaging that comes through. And then when you listen to him talk about the songs, it's kind of interesting how he gets to it, and they always take on different meanings at different parts of your life.
The Western Stars movie, by the way, tremendous. Watched it with my sister. Okay, the what would Michael do question of the day. And you know what? CBS Sports, I got to give them credit. They did a good job with this. They ranked every NFL division by starting quarterbacks, and number 8 was the AFC East. So the question to start here on what would Michael do as far as the AFC East is concerned, you have to start with one of the kids here. Who would it be? You know, Allen, Tua, Darnold, where are you starting? What would Michael do moving forward, AFC East quarterbacks?
Well, you mean in terms of the long term or terms of next year? Obviously, Cam's the best quarterback.
No, I want to go long. Let's mix it up and go long term with this.
Long term. Well, that remains to be seen. Now, the one thing about the Cam deal with for the Patriots, they could franchise him next year if they want to go in that direction. Although they do like Stidham, and I've made sure everybody's aware of that. You know, I think the one guy that I think has the most upside is Darnold, and he's got to change his inability to stop turning the ball over. I think he's got to play more composed. He's got to cut down on his mistakes. He's got to really take another step in his game. Again, Josh Allen is a big man who's athletic, but as far in terms of he's an athlete playing quarterback, he's not a quarterback that's an athlete. In fact, go back to Wyoming and rewatch those games and really see the problems he had there. And then Tua for me is the wild card because even if Tua stays healthy, I wasn't in love with Tua as the next greatest player because I worry about his size. I worry about his command. I worry about him being under in the pocket at 6 feet tall and being able to see. Now, I don't think he can stay healthy. I don't believe it. I think he's going to take a lot of hits, and I worry about that, and I hope he proves me wrong. I really do. But to me, I worry about that. So I would probably go just ranking them today. I would go Darnold, Allen, Tua, and then you told me to keep the Patriots away. I don't know where Stidham would fit in that. I think Stidham and Sam Darnold are very similar. Very similar.
In what way?
They both have great arms. They both have a lot of talent. They can beat you with your feet and beat you with the mind. One guy was a first, second, third pick overall in the draft. The other guy was a fourth round pick. Both of them were highly recruited coming out of college, high school. Both of them had really good success in the passing game in college. I think they're very similar. Now, I'm not sure Stidham is as careless with the ball as Darnold is, and he's got to prove that. But there's a lot of questions around Stidham, and he is well-liked up there. Don't get me wrong. He is well-liked. But you're talking my reason for saying about Cam is a unique player. Cam could show up in about 26 cities and be the starter. Like he could do
right.
that. I mean, if he walked into Los Angeles, he beat Jared Goff out. I'm just telling you, whether anybody wants to believe it or not, he would beat, if it was a fair fight, he beat Jared Goff out. He beat Tyrod Taylor out. He, you know, he may not beat out Aaron Rodgers. He may not beat out Russell Wilson. He may not beat out Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson, but there's a lot of teams he could go beat out the starting quarterback. So I really don't want to hear he's not going to be the starter in day one. From that, some AFC East coach.
Anonymously. The number is shortening, by the way, down in Miami as far as starter week one. Fitzpatrick minus 278, the favorite, but Tua plus 235. So that number's getting a little bit tighter. Again, you have to also look at just what's happening with the offseason. Maybe if there's acclimation, but there's just no way he's going to be under center with what's happening.
I would say I would have given it a lot better chance if Shan Gailey and Ryan Fitzpatrick weren't on the same page, right?
Right.
I don't know how you can go into a game, especially week one, and say, Ryan, you sit here, even though you know what to do offensively and you can get us, you know, we're going to play Tua. We're just going to play Tua. I think the reason Chan Gailey is in Miami has to be because of Fitzpatrick, because there really was no connection between Flores and Chan Gailey other than competing against one another. And I think if it would be the best thing for Tua, it would be the best thing for Tua to watch Fitzpatrick the first month of the season, to watch him, to learn, to study. This rush to put him in there could only hurt him, not help him.
I know who isn't the anonymous coach in the AFC East? It's Flores. He has a good relationship with Belichick. I think Flores is kind of a ride or die dude. That is, he knows the importance of that relationship. Remember what happened with Mangini. Mangini's now buried at ESPN. Stay on his good side. Patricia stayed on Belichick's good side.
Yeah, I mean, look. I think one thing you know is most guys that are raised in that system, they don't worry about somebody else's team. They're too busy worried about their own team, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the first rules of the building. You know, farm your own land. Don't worry about farming somebody else's land. It's like, you know, when Bruce Arians was talking about, you know, somebody, some other quarterback he should start. Like, Bruce, worry about your team. Don't worry about somebody else's team.
Agriculture. Right here on the Lombardi line. Okay.
Farm your land.
Farm your land. By the way, DraftKings has more passing yards this season. Brady and Newton. Brady got to lay 560. Newton is 4-1. More touchdowns this season. Brady, you got to lay -500. Newton +370. Just 20 seconds. If you had to take one Bruce album to that island, which one are you taking?
Probably would take Lucky Town.
Okay. Coming up next, Aussie Rules Football. You wait for it every Thursday. Ron Flatter is going to be joining us coming up in just a bit. You missed anything? The podcast, everything you need. It's vsin.com. Mr. Flatter next here on the Lombardi Line. It's vsin, the sports betting network. Okay, BetMGM wants you to start out with a lock. That's why they're giving new customers a chance to win $50 in free bets when they place a $1 wager on either Man City or Liverpool to win. All you have to do is sign and make your bet. Just sign up, BetMGM, use the VSIN code VSIN50 and take advantage of this crazy offer. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Use the promo code VSIN50 to win $50 in free bets when you bet $1 on either Man City or Liverpool to win. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. Physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in Jersey and West Virginia, and 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. It is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you back. I got a new suggestion for VSiN and programming. Michael Lombardi and Ron Flatter off the air conversations, because right there, as we say hi to Ron Flatter, that was good stuff. I enjoyed it. Aussie Rules Thursday. Look at you pretty in pink, huh, Mr. Flatter?
I do my damnedest. Nice. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The first thing in the closet, you know, I'm, you know, my commute from the bedroom to work is 5 feet. So it's like whatever's in the closet, grab it, go. That's
so from Nevada to Australia, which is where you are right now, it's only 5 feet.
Right.
Now, give us, let's jump into Aussie Rules. So the overview, I heard you had a bad beat overnight.
I did. Yeah. My Carlton Blues took it on the chin from St. Kilda, but my bet was on the over 128.5, and the game finished at 128. So
yikes.
That was bad enough. Yeah, that was bad enough. And I mean, a rush behind, you know, one less kick out on the floor, anything, I would have gotten this thing. So there you go. A bad beat there. And I've taken it on the chin a little bit. I've had a couple of close calls, had a sub 500 week last week, 0-1 so far this week. So I'm going to need some confidence building. By the way, the headline out of the Australian Football League,
yes,
the whole schedule is going to get flipped upside down next week because of the increase in coronavirus cases in Victoria, Melbourne, that area, all the teams, all 10 teams from around Melbourne are going to have to be shipped out to bubbles in other states. So they're going to rewrite the schedule. They'll have the formal announcement later today, and then they're going to figure out how to schedule this. But it looks like the Melbourne teams will all be on the road for a month, probably in Perth and Queensland, New South Wales. We're even here in Canberra as a possible place where they're going to wind up landing.
Wow. I didn't, that's crazy, Michael.
Yeah, this has been going on. They've had a lot of problems in Victoria. They've had a lot of it coming through, and they're trying to deal with it and be proactive about it. And then they've actually, you know, when we talk about the Collingwood and Essendon game, I mean, two players they suspended, Steele Sidham and Lyndon Dunn, were suspended for violating coronavirus protocol.
And don't forget, they also had Connor McKenna from Essendon was the first player to test positive for the coronavirus a couple weeks ago, and Essendon's game with Melbourne had to be postponed. And in fact, McKenna has also copped a suspension as a result of his being around players when he wasn't being careful enough. So they're trying to crack down on this. So far, they've been able to hold this and contain it. So it might be a lesson for us here in the U.S.
So you were watching it. Were you watching it early this morning as well, Michael?
Absolutely. When I get up in the morning, I watch it. I talk to my guys over there. I talk to Tim Watson and check in with him. He's been keeping me up to date on the on all the things that are going on and about how the pandemic is spreading in Melbourne, you know, a little bit there, and how they are going to react to it. It's a crazy time, and everybody's going to head out to Perth, and some are, like Ron said, are going to go up to Queensland and see what's going on. But, you know, I think they're going to keep trying to continue to play. It's a fun game to watch. It really is. And I'm excited. There's some really good games, like the Collingwood Essendon game, I think will be a good game. Collingswood came off a tough loss last week. They've got to bounce back. They lose two players. Mason Cox, one of their best players, has got to really play well. Essendon is going to play some younger guys. You know, for me, I think this is one of those where Collingwood is a 13.5 point favorite. I think that's probably accurate.
And Ron, that's a pretty low total, correct? 116.5 for Collingwood and Essendon?
Yeah, it is. But if you look at it, Collingwood had a poor kicking quarter last week in the loss at Greater Western Sydney. Essendon is mentioned shorthanded. By the way, Mason Cox, former Texas Tech athlete. Texas Tech is where he came from. He's an American. But you've got Essendon shorthanded. I'm not sure they can kick the goals. If anything, I would go Collingwood or over, but I'm staying away from this game. I think 13.5 points, too expensive, especially with only 16-minute quarters.
But you're not on Friday staying away from the West Coast Eagles and Sydney Swans. The Eagles laying 8.5 and a total of 126.5.
Yeah, this is the last of 4 weeks in the hub that West Coast Eagles are playing, and they have yet to play a home game. They're going to go back to Perth. They've been underachieving. I think their 1-3 record with a 3-match losing streak is deceptive. Sydney still undermanned. Their best forward, Buddy Franklin, Lance Franklin, whose nickname is Buddy Love, he's still not available. I think I would like to do money line here, but I think $1.67 is too much to lay. So I'm going to lay the 8.5 points and take the Eagles to bounce back against the Sydney Swans.
And we're early. Go ahead, Michael.
The Eagles looked really disinterested last week. I mean, both teams had, you know, they both had tricky games to assess based on what they did last week. So, and they're both coming off losses. I think the Swans are a little bit better than what they've showed. I would take the Swans here in this situation.
Ooh. We're in opposite views, Patrick. We got one going.
Yeah, I like it when it gets beefy on a Thursday here. Aussie rules football between Flatter and Lombardi. Okay, but we're early, right, Ron? Because, you know, Port Adelaide, 16 points at the top of the table. And then the next one up here, Gold Coast, they're sitting second, tied with a few other squads here at 12 points. Now, they're taking on the Geelong Cats. The Cats are laying 19.5. The Suns are plus 255 in the total 124.5.
Another stay away from me. I wouldn't lay 19.5 here. Geelong, two close calls, losing at home to Carlton by 2, winning by 3 against Melbourne. But their midfielders, Patrick Dangerfield, Joel Selwood, veteran guys, I like them to win at home against a Gold Coast team that's really overachieving. Came into the season with a 19-game losing streak, but I'm not laying 19.5. I'm certainly not going to go minus 334 on this game. So I got another stay away here, Michael.
Yeah, I would stay away. I like Geelong to win, but I think that's a hefty price at 19 and a half. I think it's going to be closer to 15, 16 in there. That's where I would see that game.
Michael, how about this one? I just told you Port Adelaide sitting atop the table here, Aussie Rules Football.
Yeah.
Brisbane.
Port Adelaide, the power. This will be a hell of a game.
This is Brisbane. So it's Brisbane, just a 1.5 point favorite here against Adelaide. And the total, Michael, 129 and a half.
Yeah, I mean, look, Port Adelaide is really good, and they both teams have played. They're really interesting to watch. They've been playing well. The Power have had 5 wins in as many starts, and they really handled the competition really well. Charlie Dixon has looked really good. He scored 6 goals in the last win over the Eagles. So, you know, Port Adelaide, I think, is a tough team. I don't know where Ron is on this game. I think this is a toss-up, but I like Port Adelaide's team. I think the Power are really good.
This one's at Brisbane, though. It's Brisbane's home ground. And I look at both of these teams have played very easy schedules so far. So I wouldn't necessarily be long on either of these teams going to the long haul of the season. But if you look at this, Lachie Neal is the clear favorite right now for the Brownlow Medal. That's the MVP award in Australian football. He plays for Brisbane. He's a midfielder. He's going to be around the ball all the time. He averages 20 kicks, 15 handballs, 4.5 marks per game. That's good. And so I'm going to take the home team. By the way, I look at this Brisbane favored by 1.5. That's got to be juiced because I look at the money line at 10 cents on either side. So I'm going to take the money line play, obviously, right, minus 110 in this one at the GABA.
Oh, quick question, Ron. I'll start with you on this one. When a Premier League season starts, there's going to be 3 or 4 squads, mostly 3, that have a chance to actually win the title. Is it the same here? Because if I'm just getting into Aussie rules football, I see a ton of teams tied up with 8 points. How wide is the net as far as teams that can contend in Aussie rules?
Well, they've only played 4 games apiece, so that's why you're going to have everything clogged up there. But really, you can make a case for any of 6 sides in a given year to win the premiership. Shorter season this year, it's going to be a lot less wear and tear. Teams like Hawthorn, the oldest team in the competition, they're going to be helped by the shorter season. So I think that's actually going to deepen the possibility for teams to come up and win the premiership. So in that respect, I think you could look at maybe you could go 8 deep, which is as many teams as get to the playoffs.
Is your guy's squad, yeah, is your guy's squad in the mix this year, Michael?
The Hawthorn, I think Hawthorn is, you know, they're going to play the Giants, and Phil Davis and Zach Williams for their team, though they're not going to play. Hawthorn is really, they got by last week. It was the narrow victory. I think they'll play much better this week. I do. I mean, my man Clarkie's got under a lot of heat, Ron. I'm sure you've seen that. They're complaining about what he's complaining about. But, you know, I think Hawthorn, they've got Toby Green, they got Jeremy Cameron to combine for 2 goals, you know, in the last 2. They've dominated this team last year. So I think Hawthorn would be a good play here.
Yeah, that's, you know, if anything, I would take Hawthorn. But again, I'm not convinced on this one. I got a few. You guys are landing on all my stay away.
Yeah, I know. You've got 2 more picks. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, anyway, take the floor.
All right, I'll give you the Western Bulldogs and North Melbourne Football Club, the Kangaroos. I'm going to go under the 125.5 here because both of these teams have problems scoring. In fact, that's my favorite play of the week. And also, I'm looking at Richmond at the Melbourne Cricket Ground against Melbourne. Lost by 26 to St. Kilda, but then won its last 4 games against Melbourne in the head-to-head. Melbourne looks sloppy in the loss to Geelong, so I'm going to take Richmond and lay the 10.5. That one will be late night Saturday, early Sunday at the Melbourne Cricket Ground, and probably the last game in Melbourne for a long while.
And the Ron Flatter Racing Pod dropping tomorrow.
Yeah, we have a discussion, an important panel discussion about race and racing. We have 4 guests, all people of color who are involved in racing. And so we're going to talk with them. It is a wonderful learning session. We recorded it yesterday. Ron Flatter Racing Pod, vsin.com/podcast. Also available where you find podcasts and sponsored by First Bet.
Thank you, Ron. We'll see you next Thursday. Michael,
thanks,
tremendous
Ron.
Show. Had a fun time this hour. Have a great day,
thank
Michael.
You. All right.
Okay. M. Lombardi, NFL at vsin live. You missed anything? It's pretty simple. Just go to vsin.com. The podcast, Ron's podcast, is there. Everything you need to know. The Edge with JVT coming up next. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.